And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This morning, we have the blessed opportunity to view a report of the work that's going on in Nicaragua and the work that went on in Cayena, Arizona last summer. We're so thankful for the opportunity we have to do work for the Lord, and not only in this community, not locally in the other congregations, but also in places far from here. We thank very much Vince Smith for his dedication and commitment to this work, and he'll be bringing the report for us this morning. Smith?
You kind of used to travel around with a bottle of water with you when you're out in the field. Well, welcome to each one who's here this morning. This is going to be, like Archie just mentioned, a report on our mission work. Welcome especially to those who are visiting with the congregation. If you don't know me, I'm not the normal preacher here. That would be Scott Spencer. My name's Vince Schmidt. I am the deacon over our international missions work here. The Central Avenue Church has been at this location for quite a few years, and in that amount of time, the church has supported a lot of good works and has done a great deal of service in the community. There have been community food drives. There have been a number of outreach programs and activities in addition to regular and strong spiritual teaching from the pulpit and in various group and individual Bible studies, including our classes. We've had a really successful year here this year. This included our vacation Bible school recently and a variety of gospel outreach programs. And in fact, it's going to be a gospel meeting in just a few weeks, and you're not going to want to miss that gospel meeting. That's going to be outstanding. This morning, though, I'm going to be presenting the results of two of our mission efforts this year. I'll give a summary of the recent trip that Don Pugh and I took to Nicaragua, and I'll also show lots of pictures from Cayenta VBS that the congregation supported this summer. I have probably about 3,000 pictures. I'm not going to be showing them, obviously, this morning. But with the exception of just a couple of maps and the image that you see on the screen in front of you, all the pictures were taken during our mission trip this year. Wow, you know, are you crazy? This was actually a current issue of the Selections of Reader's Digest at the local newsstand that we stopped and visited while we were out there. It says, are you crazy to discover herein or read inside? That's what I was asked often when I told folks that we were going to go on a mission trip to Nicaragua. They said, is it even safe? Weren't there earthquakes there recently? Yep, there were. Magnitude 6.4 in March 2014 and several others. But Philippians 2:4 tells us, let each of you not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Nicaragua is the largest country in the Central American isthmus. It's about 50,000 square miles. Just by comparison, Ohio is about 44,000 square miles. In 2013, Nicaragua had a population of about 6 million people. Ohio's population, by comparison, is just under 12 million at that same time. This congregation has been involved in the Latin American missions work, or LAM, managed by Forest Park Congregation in Valdosta, Georgia, since Rich Wells first got us involved in 1994. LAM provides logistic support necessary for us to operate evangelistic, medical, and building campaigns in Latin America, and the Central Avenue Church of Christ works in Nicaragua through LAM and has an established budget to support the work of the church in Nicaragua. Our efforts are focused mainly on the churches in Chinandega, where the yellow arrow is up on the top there, and the church in Masatepe in the blue area, and also a congregation in Andres Castro near Managua, which is just a little bit north of where the blue arrow is there. And wherever we're often we'll go out and we'll join the LEM team, wherever it is that they're going to be doing a campaign in Nicaragua also in a given year. So a number of you already know where this is. We've been, but it's always nice to see the map anyway and get a quick refresher. Dar and I traveled to Nicaragua the last week of August. The purpose of this particular trip was to visit each one of our four preachers and to spend a day with each one and to help them with evangelistic and restoration efforts and to edify and uplift the church in each of those areas. We left on Friday, the 22nd of August in the morning, and we got there in the evening. We spent the first night at the Best Western in Las Mercedes across the street from the airport, which is a home away from home that a lot of you recognize from the pictures that are here, those of you who have gone. And there are a number in this congregation who've gone on this trip. In the center picture, there's Don, our first interpreter, Noel, and then Guillermo is the next one, and then in my notes I say, yo, I just kind of flipped into Spanish there, and me. Saturday morning, we stopped really briefly over at Guillermo's house just to gather his belongings, and his house is where the church in Andres Castro meets. He's got a large room that is is actually quite sufficient for the congregation at this time. And we found Maximo Mendoza, one of our preachers, teaching one of two Bible classes that was going on at that time. Francisco Polanco was teaching the other class, and the classes are meeting to teach the Bible every single Saturday at Guillermo's home. Maximo's class looked pretty intense. We didn't really even get to talk to him. He was right in the middle of teaching. There were about 8 students in his class. You can see all these notes that Maximo had made and was teaching for the students, and everybody was well attentive to the material that he was teaching. That was really exciting for us to be able to see that. Every year that we go, though, you know, we see other things that kind of take us by surprise. I told Guillermo when I got there, you know, brother, I need to exchange some money. We got there kind of late in the evening. We just need to kind of stop at a bank so I can get some money exchanged. So he says, okay, yeah, just come on down here. Pull over right here. Now, Don's driving. He says, right here, right where? And we're outside of a shopping mall. And he says, oh, right here, right behind this truck. Okay, so Don pulls over in the corner right behind the truck. And a man with a handful of cash walks up to the car. And Guillermo says, roll down the window, brother, and just give him your money, and he'll just give you some cash in the window. He says, this is the bank. This is how we're going to exchange money. And I said, well, okay. So we exchanged a handful of several hundred dollars through the car window to a stranger in the sidewalk. The rate was better than what Don got in the bank earlier. Some things just never cease to amaze. Guillermo made all of our car rental and all of our hotel arrangements for us, so by the time we got there, everything was all set up. On Saturday, we drove to Masatepe to visit with Ernesto Alemán, and we checked into Mr. Tomorrow's nearby boutique hotel in San Pedro. That is always a treat, and we're always made to feel at home by Mr. Tomorrow when we're there visiting his hotel. Guillermo also arranged for our interpreters for the trip. Noel Mesa stayed with us through Sunday, and Agner was our very young interpreter the rest of the week. Both of these guys were excellent interpreters. It was really great to get a chance to work with them. If you want to really know why Noel's up here smiling on this picture, it's because he's about to have that fantastic fish dinner that Mr. Chamorro likes to serve at the Boutique Hotel. And there are several folks here who've gotten a chance to travel over there and have that. That's a wonderful meal that he provides. We met with Ernesto on Saturday. His congregation has continued to get a lot of work on the building finished at Masatepe. They've managed to raise enough money just within the congregation to replace several of the panels on the roof, and they're continuing to get their roof replaced a little bit at a time. Last year, they added a new porch. These items aren't just practical for those buildings. These are necessities for those buildings, and it's really good to see them so involved in maintaining these buildings just all by themselves. The benches were full on Sunday morning for class and for worship, and there was even a kids' class that was going on right in the back of the building. And these are all adjoined, so the kids' class and the main worship is just normally separated by a small door or sometimes even just a curtain. Ernesto Alemán and his family continue to work hard for the Lord, and the church there is growing in knowledge and in strength. And it's customary, we notice when you walk in this congregation, if they introduce a visitor, everybody will wave at the visitors and greet those newcomers. and those that they haven't seen for a while. So here they send their greetings to you, brethren, to the members here at Central Avenue. I'd love to get a picture of this from our pulpit one day and take it back down and show them. Guillermo and his family also work very hard. He and his wife, Zoraida, are pictured here. At the bottom is, again, Noel, our interpreter, who's at the left, followed by Guillermo's family, his son, Stephen, Guillermo, Hazel, and his wife, Zoraida, and then Don and I are at the right. On Monday, we got to join a preacher's meeting that was going on over at Guillermo's house in Andres Castro. These here are the preachers that were in attendance at the meeting. They meet every month. They talk about various topics and church issues and plan a variety of activities. This particular meeting, they were discussing an upcoming seminar that was going to take place within the next few months. And they're talking about how to handle the food and the expenses and who is going to be able to attend and who is going to be able to speak. That was really cool to see. So after that meeting, we went ahead and drove down to Chinandega, and we took our new and very young interpreter, Agner, with us from Andres Castro, and Guillermo arranged for us to stay at the Hotel Costa Guina, which is another location that a number of folks here are very familiar with. And this is a hotel that's right downtown in Chinandega. Now, we spent a lot of Tuesday with Marcos Pantoja. Marcos has officially taken over the responsibilities at the Chinandega Central Church that were being pursued by Francisco Martinez. Francisco recently moved to Leon, but we actually got to visit with him, and it was really nice to visit with him over lunch while we were passing through Leon on our way to Chinandega. Marcos is an experienced preacher who has built up the church in nearby Chichigalpa, and he'll be doing similar work here at Chinandega for us. Marcos took us to visit with Brother Juan, who's a longtime member of the Chinandega congregation. Juan originally learned about the church in Chinandega through a local radio broadcast. It's an effective way of communicating down there. And he uses tracts like the one that he's holding for his own evangelistic work. His Bible, brethren, is well used and is taped together with a variety of electrical and other tapes that you see there. This man really gets a lot of use out of his Bible. The lower right-hand side, one of the things we noticed as we were driving through the neighborhoods is there are a lot of schools that are practicing for upcoming Independence Day celebrations. This is one of the several school parades that we got to see passed right in front of Brother Juan's house as we were sitting there studying with him. On Tuesday afternoon, Marcos was the speaker for a regular Bible class meeting at Maximo's building. And these were really very well-attended meetings, as you can see here. Marcos gave a great lesson. I managed to get a recording of it. Now, the Central Avenue congregation purchased property for a church in Chinandega. We've been renting the facilities at Chinandega Central for a number of years. Francisco had been diligently looking for property and had selected this particular piece of property. And it's in a neighborhood called La Florida. So now we'll be referring to the church that meets there as Chinandega La Florida, Florida, instead of Chinandega Central. There is a building immediately beside the property that's being rented for just a fraction of the cost of the building that we were helping to provide support for that was in Central. And the Saints meet at that building, which includes a separate structure for the kids and the restroom, and until a building might be built on this particular piece of land. So really, really nice piece of property, too. Not too far from where the other congregation was meeting. And then on Wednesday, we spent the day with Maximo Mendoza. His neighborhood in Chinandega is actually called El Progreso. Several of the men joined us, and Maximo grouped us into just small groups to visit. He sent some of the men out for some visits, and then Maximo and several of us went to some of the ones that he had arranged. So here we see visiting with several different members throughout the day. Guillermina on the left had been a Christian for just a few years and she lives alone. We also got to visit with Petrolina and her mother Ava, who's 94 years old, who's at the right. And we got to encourage those sisters. It doesn't take very much to give people a little bit of encouragement. A little bit of your time, a kind word, praying for and with them, singing with them. We got a chance to sing a couple of songs. That was very encouraging to them. James 1:27 says that religion that's pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows and their affliction. And these women loved us to come out and visit. Jeremina on the left-hand side has said that she wasn't really able to get her property all cleaned up, so she went out and hired a young man to come up and clean up her property in preparation for our visit with her. And she was so proud for us to come out and to spend some time with her. That was a great experience for us. We also had a chance to eat a meal with Maximo and his wife, Aura, and their son, Adriel, and with Marcos and his wife, Maria. Adriel is growing like a weed, and that young man's talking. And his Spanish is sounding pretty good. One of our visits with our brother Maximo involved a Bible study with a young couple who weren't married, but they were living together. This is Garita and Carlos at the top left, and a few others were also involved in the study. And that study lasted probably about an hour. We just got to sit around in a circle, and we got to study with them. And Don principally led that study, and Guillermo got a chance to speak with them also during the course of the study. It was really, really a nice study to get involved in. And after the study concluded, Brethren, we had a couple of baptisms. Oh, and by the way, the next day, they were married. So, and not to anyone's surprise, Don even managed to find a baby to hold during the ceremony. So, you know, a little time seriously looking at the Word can be life-changing for those who are willing and anxious to obey the gospel. That little bit of a study was all it took. And now here we have a new brother and sister in Christ, a young couple who's just starting, and they're also starting their life together. What a tremendous blessing. Since we didn't have a group mission going on to Nicaragua this year, a number of the members traveled to Kanta, Arizona to run a VBS for the Navajo kids. Pictured roughly left to right are Nathan, who was an intern at Kanta, Brian, Kayla, Clara, Linda, Cole, Scott, Alex, me, Laura, Reagan, and then Mark, who is also Kanta intern. And Jean Roby was actually behind the camera, so she's not actually pictured here, but she traveled also. A lot of people who didn't travel to Kanta assisted by collecting and preparing our materials for the craft and our materials for the lessons, and so everyone got a chance to be involved. And for those who participated, thank you very much. Nick and Heidi Rice are the resident missionaries at Kanta. Nick is Carol Arbiter's grandson, and their toddler, Julia, she was a hoot all week long. Here's how this works. See, as Christians, we look for opportunities to serve. And then, when we see the opportunity, we take advantage of it. And then, we get to work when the opportunities are provided. Nick and Heidi visit Central Avenue periodically as they come back through. And they told Laura and I one year that we should come out and visit one summer and work at the reservation. Laura recognized that since we weren't going to be going to Nicaragua, this might be a good year. Maybe she and I could go out there and work. And it sort of evolved into a bigger group effort. And we recognized the chance to travel as a group. And after a few phone calls and emails, this VBS planning was started. So that's how these opportunities arise. You've got to be able to reach out and grab them and pursue them. The photo on the top left, by the way, is Clara, who's having a riot with a couple of balloons and Julia's hair. All right, so where exactly did we go? So Kanta, Arizona is about 1,600 miles away. It's about a 25-hour drive each direction. And even though the trip from Fairborn to Kanta was that far and would take a couple of days to drive, it was a lot more cost-effective to drive than it would have been to fly. It was a really long drive. But it was worth it. I'll probably show you how our team members participated in the VBS. This is going to be really, really important, especially right now for us. Think about joining similar campaigns like this or looking for similar opportunities as they happen in the future. And look at yourself in some of these roles. Four separate groups traveled. We didn't caravan. We just said, be in Kanta by Monday morning. One of the girls on the team actually traveled to Kanta and back on a motorcycle with her dad. Guess which girl that was? It wasn't my daughter. It was the Castos. Every vehicle was packed. We took, just like going to Nicaragua, we basically took everything we needed for the VBS. Even some of our food ended up being carried out for our use. This photo is our packed SUV. All the supplies and our luggage for the whole week that we were out there were in the back of Laura's SUV. The haul on the right-hand picture is actually just what we offloaded from the SUV when we got there. That was just the supplies that we brought. There were also all the supplies that were loaded on the motorcycle. No, there were a few other supplies also that were brought. But everything that we needed, we basically carried in. Nick and Heidi have been advertising and preparing for our arrival. I drafted a couple of different types of flyers, and I emailed them, and the Canton Church posted them all around town. I was pretty surprised. You know, we walk out into town, and we go to Sonic as we're driving back toward the church building, and lo and behold, there's one of our flyers taped right up to the front of the Sonic. I try to get away with that around the Fairborn area, you know. But there were a number of local businesses that had our flyers for our VBS for the Kayanta Church posted right front and center where folks could see. We brought a lot of decorations. The concept was to turn the building into a jungle, because they're not anywhere close to a jungle out there. That would be something that would be different. It would excite a lot of the kids. So our first job was to transform rooms like that entryway. Everyone got a chance to help. There were a lot of boxes to unload. There's posters to set up, vines to hang, stuffed animals to place, balloons to inflate. There were jobs here for everybody. And it didn't take very long before the whole building started to transform into something that didn't look at all like it looked like when we first got there. The left picture is our jungle waterfall. We brought the materials for the waterfall. Laura had painted some cardboard rocks. Claire cut out some of the fish. And Linda orchestrated all the construction of the waterfall. Doesn't it look really good? She said, I'm not real sure quite how to make this work. Well, you know, here's kind of the plan. You go, girl. And it just really looked great. Before we left, Laura made up a jungle trivia board, and we set some craft examples in front of it. So a lot of this is questions and trivia about various jungle animals, so the kids could come up and take a look at that. But these are just a couple of our decorations. The days kind of went through a routine. Gene got up early and cooked a lot of our meals, including breakfast every day. Gene Roby was great. It was really nice. She'd be up, I don't know, I get up fairly early, and she was up before me a lot of the days. So. Then we had a devotional every morning with songs and a lesson. Nick always presented a short lesson to set the tone for the day. And we'd have some singing, we'd have the lesson. And then since the VBS started in the evening, we actually had the day to pursue other activities. Now, Monday, for example, was spent mainly decorating because most of the folks didn't get there until real late on Sunday evening. So we spent most of Monday transforming the building. And Thursday, Nick had arranged for our group to go to Monument Valley and see the Monument Valley, which wasn't too far away. And that was an excellent tour. The daytimes also might have involved lesson reviews or skit rehearsal and final preparations for the day's crafts and the day's activities. The Kayanta VBS ran actually at a little slower pace than a lot of the Nicaragua missions, so we had some time to maybe look over lesson materials or make some last-minute additions. Honestly, I think I may have turned to somebody during the course of the campaign and said, you know, it just doesn't seem like a campaign without John Farber going, hurry up, you got to get on the bus, we're leaving in 5 minutes to go out to the building. That's what he'd normally do with a Nicaragua campaign. But there's a little bit more time, a little bit more relaxed pace. One day during the day, Kayla Castro ran a puppet-making workshop. This is really a tremendous success. She brought out some socks and a lot of puppet-making little beads and paints and materials, and we had a number of kids show up for this workshop to make puppets, and they stayed for what, a couple of hours, right, making puppets. They were thrilled. It was a lot of fun. One evening, right before our VBS, the ladies of the local congregation showed us how to make fry bread. So we have a chili cook-off that's coming up. And I've got lots of fry bread flour, so we're hoping to have some fry bread made up for the chili cook-off. And the congregation provided a meal for us that evening. It was really nice to have a chance to socialize and to spend time with them. The kids would show up somewhere between 5:30 and 6:30. The VBS is scheduled to start at 6, so sometimes that was a little bit of a problem. I remember, I think it was the second night. The first night, things ran about 15 minutes late. The second night, things were running like 30 minutes late. It's like, did we do something wrong the first night? But no, we had good crowds. We used jungle leaves for attendance. Those were all cut out back here, and every child had a leaf with their name, and a sticker was added every night that they came, and they could take their leaf at the end of the week, and there were little clothespins that were made up to look like alligators, and they could take those home with them at the end of the week. Von Allen actually did a lot of the painting and prep for those alligators. There were lots of alligators that she put together for this. And Rhonda, I believe, cut out all of our leaves. So a lot of folks got to be involved. VBS normally started with songs. Generally what would happen is Scott would kind of kick things off. There were a couple of interns there, so the goal was get the interns involved. We've done VBSs here before. Let's get them involved, get them some experience. So Nathan would actually go ahead and take over. I don't think it's actually the chicken dance that he's doing. He's doing one of the versions of I'm in the Lord's Army, so all the kids always enjoy that. The kids also had a good time with the puppet skits. Now, Kayla wrote the opening and the closing skits that we used for our theme all week long, and all the skits were jungle animal based, and she'd even made up a couple of puppets and took those handmade puppets down and were using those puppets. The schedule for the VBS is actually very similar to what we do here for a schedule, just without a snack. So from 6 to 8 p.m. in the evening, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, 30-minute sessions each for lesson, game, and craft. And then they'd give all the kids a little baggie of cookies on their way out the door at the end of the lesson. The crafts, of course, are always a big hit. All the crafts were animal-based to go along again with the jungle theme. And we even did the lionhead craft in Kansas. We've done the same craft. Several of you have seen those. We've done those in Nicaragua a few times, but everybody seems to like them, so we just keep bringing them forward. It continues to be really popular. And, of course, the games were really popular, too. It was hard to do the games for the first few days because the weather just wouldn't cooperate. It was so windy and it was so sandy out there, so we'd have to actually move a lot of the games inside. And there was limited space indoors, so that made it a little bit difficult, but we rearranged things every night so that we'd have enough room for everybody. The continuous strong wind, I think, kind of took everybody by surprise. Even the locals said, that we wouldn't normally have had this right during this week. We've got it, just not normally right now. However, there was a time when the wind died down enough for games, and when that would happen, we'd go ahead outside and we'd play games outside. The theme of the VBS was Jungle Jam, where Jam is an acronym for Jesus and Me. And so you could see that we'd have various themes for every day. Jesus knows me. Jesus is my friend. Jesus cares for me. Jesus saves me. And then for the adult lessons, there was a series of lessons navigating the jungle. So there were classes for the kids every night. Again, you know, let me just point out that the material that we used for the VBS for the class was actually written at Central Avenue before we left by a number of volunteers. So thank you for those volunteers who had followed some templates and put some class materials together for this. The adults got a couple of classes per night, but no games and no crafts. So the classes were really good. I have MP3 recordings of all 8 of the adult classes if anyone's interested in those. The last 15 minutes every evening would be a closing puppet skit, songs and some comments and some questions about the day's classes. And they could sing, "There's a boat on the sea in Galilee," with all the hand motions every night. He'd do it a few times, and then he'd do it faster and faster. I don't think I've ever seen anybody do that song that fast with all the hand motions that he did. We also had a jungle theme song for the VBS, "Who's the King of the Jungle?" And by the way, in case you want to know who's the king of the jungle, it's K-E-S-U-S, yes, right? So that was a great fun. It was a lot of fun. Great song to do. The kids really enjoyed that. I'm still seeing Nick in my mind talking about there's a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and he was quick. Every day while we were there during the VBS, it was a lot of work. And we were really busy. Alex led games with Gene Roby several of the nights, and even he taught a teen group one of the nights. This is the night of indoor games. They determined that this just wasn't going to work, and they brought the crew inside. And so here's Alex leading a series of special indoor games for the kids. Linda taught classes of youngsters every night. The first night was the most hectic because the weather was causing some extra challenges, but I think that things kind of settled out over the course of the week. Reagan and Kayla co-taught an intermediate group every night. They really made a good team. The kids really seemed to enjoy that. Brian taught three adult classes and a teen class. Scott also taught three adult classes and a teen class, and I taught a couple of adult classes while we were there. Laura ran the crafts every evening. Jean ran the games nearly every evening. And Clara and Cole floated where they were needed. Sometimes it helped with puppets, sometimes it helped with crafts, sometimes with games, sometimes with classes. Everybody who went got a chance to get involved. It was exciting. I believe it was exciting for everybody. And then it was time to regroup and strategize after the evening. And kind of figure out what was going to go on for the next day. Actually, this is Risk. Nick loves to play Risk. He had Risk running at least three nights that I know of, maybe more than that. But he actually kept bringing in new group of folks who would have to teach them how to play. And those Risk games would normally finish at 2 a.m. Yeah, they would be... My Risk game, I'm here leaning over the board on this one. My Risk game was pretty short. We all learned some valuable lessons about God's plan throughout the week. We also learned how to be flexible when our plans had to change and be rearranged. Sometimes our paths and decisions seemed, pretty obvious. Sometimes they didn't seem very obvious, but the experience that we got there was magnificent. I don't know about you, but would you need a sign like that? Okay. We got the chance to share God's word and to enjoy his creation in groups of people every night. Got to see a lot of the same kids every evening. Got to really participate with these groups and really spend some time with them. And sometimes we just got to capture some of the special moments just one-on-one. You know? You wouldn't believe how popular Gene Roby's camera was. One of the prizes for the games is the kids got to take some pictures with our camera. Sometimes we would share time together just as friends during the week. And sometimes as family. I had to put this one in here as family because someone pointed out that Nathan looked a lot like Brian's son, so I couldn't pass up this great photo op. He does, doesn't he? So, all week long, though, we got to enjoy the experience and the joy of doing God's work in Kayenta for the team that was out there. But you know what? Here's the important part, right here. You don't have to travel across the ocean and speak another language to do God's work. You can, if you'd like to go on the Nicaragua mission when it comes up for next year, come and talk to me and we'll help you get set up. But you don't have to do that to do the Lord's work. You don't even have to drive 2,600 miles or 1,600 miles across the U.S. each direction to do the Lord's work. You can start right here at home. You can do the Lord's work on your own street and in your own neighborhood. And there's a lot of work that's going on in this congregation. And you can do the Lord's work right here in this congregation. So look for chances and opportunities. Look for those opportunities to be about God's business. And if you see an opportunity, take it. You won't regret it. If you're already a Christian and you're struggling in your walk with Jesus, you can come forward in just a moment and you can request the prayers of the church. Take advantage and seize that opportunity. But if you're not a Christian, there's already a mission for you, and that mission is to get yourself right with God. If you believe that Jesus is God's only Son, if you believe that He died as a sacrifice so your sins can be forgiven and you're willing to turn from your sins to follow Christ, to be baptized in water and to start your life anew, then you know everything that you need to know to become a child of God this very moment. Won't you come forward right now? Seize the opportunity.